I'm a young boy wading knee-deep in a lake on a sunny day with the breeze blowing through the mulberry trees. My grandmother sits nearby, dressed impeccably in summer-colored clothes sewn herself, wearing a straw hat and big sunglasses, and smiling when I look at her. My grandmother and I are from different worlds. She, an immigrant from Hiroshima. Me, a half-Asian boy growing up in the Midwest. She doesn't speak English, but it doesn't matter. There are big carp on the stringer, and my heart is full. Beautiful days like this were a bright spot in stark contrast to my everyday cultural experiences growing up. I was born in 1966, when there were few Asians living in the Midwest. I never heard anything positive about being Japanese. In fact, most of what I heard was negative. Kids in grade school chant, "Chinese, Japanese, Nipponese, look at these." I'd get in fights in the neighborhood and at camp, and baseball teammates calling my brother and I rice bowl and chopsticks. And Pearl Harbor Day, Sister Bernadette, vehement in recalling the treachery of the Japanese people who killed her brother on December 7th, 1941, as I sank underneath my desk. I never saw other Japanese except a few times a year when Mr. Aki sold fresh fish from the back of a cold storage warehouse in Omaha. There were tables set up with beautiful fresh fish from the Pacific on beds of ice, and arriving on that day, everyone was Japanese, speaking Japanese, happily greeting my mother and grandmother. Mr. Aki, in apron, greeting us and cutting and weighing from the giant tuna. These were days of celebration and joy, punctuated by a delicious lunch of sashimi, crab, rice, and all the fixings. I left those fish sales with so much joy. But the reality was I had already grown to mistrust anybody who couldn't see the goodness of my mother and grandmother, who were both beautiful and Japanese. Outside of these celebrations, my family never really talked about being Japanese. We didn't celebrate the culture and customs on a regular basis. I didn't ask. It didn't seem like a question I could ask. I responded internally by becoming resentful and determined to outdo the non-target group, who to me at that time in North Omaha was anybody who lived west of 52nd Street. And without ever agreeing to it, I adopted an enculturating belief that there was something wrong with being me. But I love my mother and grandmother, and as a kid, I couldn't reconcile that with the message that there's something wrong with being Japanese. My grandmother immigrated to the United States from Hiroshima as a 19-year-old passage-paid picture bride. My grandfather was born in Vancouver and spoke both Japanese and English. They settled in Woodinville, Washington. There's a story about my grandfather going to meet my grandmother for the first time. And he recalls with joy when he saw this beautiful bright red tomato coming off of the boat. They truck farmed in Woodinville, Washington. They sold produce locally, and they sold produce to the vendors who had at the Pike's Place Market. My mother remembers good times in Woodinville. Her father catching fish in the surrounding streams, a dog, chickens in the yard. My grandfather had worked in the logging industry in the Pacific Northwest, and he had saved enough money to get married, to pay for that passage, and to buy a truck. My mom was 6 years old when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, and that eventually led to the relocation of her family to Tule Lake internment camp in Northern California. My mom has always chosen not to talk about the internment camps. She says she doesn't want to talk about the bad things. She has told me good things about farm neighbors who were poor and white, who went to town and bought her family a gift of cardboard suitcases to help in the relocation. A soldier on the train who was kind, who smiled to her, gave her a stick of gum. She remembers details like from Tule Lake, partition walls that didn't reach the floor, the desert dust, my grandmother always sweeping, and those cardboard suitcases stowed beneath the cots. My grandmother carried with her photos of her two handsome brothers in their Japanese Navy outfits, uniforms, who both died in the war. My grandmother carried pictures of her mother and father, who were killed when the United States dropped the first bomb on Hiroshima. With her family of origin dead from the war, my grandmother carried their legacy, and she poured it into her daughter. Later, the family relocated to Omaha, Nebraska, sponsored by the Catholic Church, who put my mother all the way through Creighton University Nursing School. My grandmother was a seamstress, a gardener, practiced acupuncture. My mother and father were married in Council Bluffs, Iowa, when interracial marriage was still illegal in Nebraska. They had seven children. I was the youngest. I never knew my grandfather. I do know that he worked as a waiter in downtown Omaha at King Fong's Chinese restaurant when they moved to Omaha. From what I've heard, he was a funny guy who liked to laugh and smoke and drink and go to the races. There were stories about when the priest would come by the house to check on the sponsee family, and he'd always say to him, "I'll be there next Sunday for sure, Padre. I'll be there." But he never showed up, and he never worried about it. He lost a leg from diabetes and drinking and died before I was born. In 1990, the United States paid my mother and grandmother $20,000 each in redress for the internment. They appreciated it, but it didn't do much for me. On the outside, I was doing well, but on the inside, that enculturating belief from my childhood and resentment were leading me into deeper resentment and alcoholism. Like my grandfather before me, I developed a drinking story of my own. Life and drinking got more and more grim. And I ended up living in a guy's basement in North Minneapolis. One fateful night, I was brought to my knees, asking for help from a higher power I didn't know. And he came, and he changed my life in profound ways. Since that night, I've never had another drink. It's been 28 years. I was helped by the recovery community and a reluctant mentor who taught me so much about life. Larry was perfect. Once stationed in the Navy in Japan, he was always telling stupid Asian jokes and teaching me not to take myself so seriously. He taught me how to forgive and remove resentments. He taught me that resentment was holding on and forgiving was letting go. Eventually, I recognized that I was the one holding on to these old stories, and I had to let them go if I wanted something better in my life. Today, my dead grandfather and I are at peace. I've visited that Woodinville farm with my mother. I've walked the streets of Tokyo, celebrating the summer holiday. I've meditated with the Buddhists. And with the help of other men, I've bucketed out most of that unsaid, enculturating belief I called Dirty Jap. Today, my family and I celebrate who we are. On a recent Sunday, my mom comes for a visit to the house I share with my wife, Stephanie. When my mom arrives, there's always an entourage of sisters, brothers, grandkids, three generations of my family. There are poems, prayers, and the practice of looking into each person's eyes, happy to be together. Today is a special day. My mother has made my daughters gifts of traditional shishiko quilts with designs and stories hand-stitched into each square. We celebrate with a lunch of sashimi, crab, rice, and all the fixings, just like the days of Mr. Aki's fish market. I remember times like these, and my grandmother sitting nearby at that fishing lake when I seek an everyday calmness in my life. They are a reminder of the life my family stitched together. Despite all the hardships of coming to this country and the adversity that they faced, a reminder of their example that forgiveness is the most powerful word in the English language. And sometimes it tells a generational story. That lunch lasted 5 hours. Saying goodbye, my mom stops at the door and puts her hand on my arm and looks at me without saying anything. I can see her now. She knows I know my family story. She knows I know who I am.